I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You're listening to The Scotsman. This is Brian Priest, joined, as I always am, by Mr. Who Do You Think You Are, Tran.
What's up?
How's it going, buddy?
Doing well. What are we talking about today?
We are talking about Utah State. Have you heard of them?
Utah State.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Aggies all the way.
So we're going to add something new to the podcast today towards the end. Forgot to talk about this when we were preparing, but you got a Scotsman of the Week, who?
We'll figure it out.
We are going to come up with a Scotsman of the Week where who and I each award that to an Aggie. It could be a current Aggie, former Aggies, coaches. You never know where the Aggie of the Week is going to come from, the Scotsman of the Week. But today, who you and I are going to be talking about, men's basketball dropping another road game against San Diego State. We will talk about the women's basketball team as their struggles continue. Another couple of losses last week. Kristen White and the gymnastics team went down to Southern Utah.
Theater City.
Taking on the Flying Bird, the Flipping Birds.
Flipping Birds.
I've got to say, probably the best collegiate name.
Right.
They
somehow lost out. Red Rocks, they lost out on Red Rocks.
Which is good.
Yes, but then they go up with, we lost Red Rocks, we'll go Flipping Birds.
So. And they have uniforms to go with. I salute to SUU. I know this is a Utah State podcast. But both men's and women's tennis getting going. We've got some track and field content today. Whole lot to talk about this afternoon. But who, I feel like we should start where most of the eyeballs are, and that's with Ryan Odom's basketball team. Last night they go down to San Diego State and drop another road game, their third straight on the road in the Mountain West, all three by double figures.
Taking on the show.
What's going on with the Aggies on the road? We know it's a great team in the Spectrum.
Right.
Why can't they win away?
It reminds me of those 04 to 07 Jazz teams, right? they had the Delta Center, ESA Magic.
Uh-huh.
Spectrum Magic is a real thing. And going on the road is just really hard. San Diego State is a really tough place to play. Like, Spectrum Magic is great, but the show for they get a bad reputation, and they earn it and they like it, but they're also very passionate fans there at San Diego State. That place was rocking last night, and boy, this is one of the I got to watch an extended portion of this game, and. Like the avalanche, there was an avalanche on one side, and the Aggies just couldn't recover. But it stemmed from problems that they've had in multiple games in the season, where they just go really. Like we talked about it, Weber State talked about Nevada. Like they go cold, and once they go cold, it disrupts everything. And then defensively, you can only hold out for so long.
Yeah.
Yesterday was crazy. A player went almost on a 12-0, 15-0 run himself.
Yeah, Adam Seiko. Yep. It was he scored 12 straight points. He outscored Utah State. I I don't remember how much time was left in the first half. It was 11 minutes and something, but they went to a break. San Diego State was leading 26-11. 15 of those points had been scored by Adam Seiko.
He made his first seven shots from deep. Yeah, five. It was a heat check three. It was really amazing. Watching that, then the dunk where two Aggies hit the guy, and he still dunks it over them, and it just snowballed. And you could tell the Aggies were I was watching, I go, they're just throwing up shots right now. We were talking about this in the pre-meeting. You were saying this scheme just doesn't happen. All of a sudden, it just stops. And maybe San Diego State's just really good. These are two of the top 20 RPI teams in the nation, I want to say.
RPI wise, I'm not sure. I know Utah State came into the game 35th
net, right?
Yeah, net rating, yeah. And I think San Diego State was 20th.
Yeah, so
high 20s.
These were this could have been quad one wins for either
mm-hmm.
team.
Mm-hmm.
This was not an easy game by any means, but Utah State just made it look easy in that first half because, man, they went through this drought and zone's hard to break. If you don't have a zone breaker, it's really hard. But they were just throwing the ball around for 20 seconds, the shot clock would get under 10, and they would just jack up a bad three, just trying to get something going. It happens. You go on tilt, right? You get the pressure. I don't know. Just there's got to be ways for them to stop that. A timeout or something. They had timeouts in the middle, and they still couldn't get it going. And this has been something that we've seen a few times this year.
You said there was a lot there, a lot to unpack. And so kind of take it step by step. And you used a few key phrases there, snowballing, the offense just abandoning the team. And it's something that we have seen consistently from this team this year. And we know that they have the capability of being a great shooting team. But that's been kind of the issue is that's a about the only thing they're great at. They don't have a lot of second options. So once shots stop falling, then it's really easy to start seeing that snowball effect. Yeah. And, shots stop falling, so you start to press a little bit. Maybe you relax a little bit on the defensive end, which is kind of human nature. Now, I know coaches would like to tell you that when the shots stop falling on one end, you tighten up on the other side right. So that you can stay close. But that's not what a 19-year-old kid is going to do in a lot of cases.
And their defense wasn't awful.
There were stretches in the first half right. Where Adam Seiko got free. Right. The defense got better, and the Aggies were able to make a run in the second half. But when you go more than 6 minutes without scoring, last night it was 6 minutes and 13 seconds, I believe it was, against Nevada in the second half when it was 64-64 with 7 or so minutes left in the second half, and you go just shy of 7 minutes without scoring. Against Boise State, it was a 4-something minute stretch. We saw it in the loss to Weber State at home, a stretch in the second half where the offense just goes cold. When your scoring is abandoning you like that, it's because, live by the three, die by the three, of course, but there has to be a way for Utah State right. to be able to collect and have a second option. Now, some people would point to Dan Akin off of the bench as a good post presence. And he has been. Last night, I think he ended up scoring 15 points, was, 6 of 7 from the field?
6 of 7, 15 points.
And was very good, but he's somebody that defenses can take away. You go back to the San Jose State game that the Aggies had to come back and win late and end up winning by 1 point. But Dan Akin's getting double-teamed the moment he touches the ball because defenses don't have to worry. There's one or two guys that defenses don't have to worry about consistently. And then another thing that you brought up that I've noticed is when the Aggies go into these doldrums, the offensive stretches where they're just nothing is going right at all. There's a point where I've seen the offense just abandon any sense of a scheme, and you go from five guys playing as a team to five guys playing for themselves. And simply put, Utah State doesn't have the athleticism or the skill to be able to go one-on-one for long stretches of time.
We've seen it too many times now. I was like, okay, when you can't break the zone, when you cannot get penetration, and even if you get Akin's not very good. I think, did we talk about this last week, how he's not a great passer.
He's
not good at he hasn't figured out consistently how to like find that the open man, and so that'll be big. You know, we're halfway through the season now, so like we got to start seeing something besides again when Splashworth is on, when you can run stuff off curls and get the game that we saw prior to this one, the San Jose, like, when they came back,
mm-hmm.
like they were able to get shots in that second half to get them back in it.
Well, and they did that last night against San Diego State as well. I mean, you're down by 20 in the first half, and you cut that advantage to 6 points midway through the second half. But you're just digging such a deep hole that you don't have the depth to get out of it. And again, I bring up the Ryland Jones dilemma. I know that when most fans look at the box score, Ryland Jones is not a guy who jumps out, and his contributions don't stand out to you. But what he adds, just simply, if nothing else, the ability to run the offense for 15 to 20 minutes a night and take the pressure off of Steven Ashworth, mm-hmm. would be a huge boost for this Utah State team. Ashworth last night has gone from a guy who was leading the Mountain West in scoring early in the conference season to last night against the Aztecs, he goes 3 of 10. He makes, one three, finishes with
two threes,
8 points. And I'm not putting any fault on Steven Ashworth for that. He finished with 7 assists mm-hmm. and 2 turnovers. We were talking in the pre-show meeting about how many times it looked like the San Diego State defense was really keen.
They were
all over Steven Ashworth. You've got to wonder, how tired is he? Playing 37 minutes?
He's
averaging 35 to 36 minutes without
RJ Alaruk, Jones. 9 minutes. You know, like, and that's with Steve Ashworth out there.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not getting any breaks. And so, yeah, like, that – I mean, look, these are young kids that are – you know, they can go 40 minutes. You know, J.C. Carroll consistently went, 40 minutes. But you can tell it's wearing on Steven, like, not having somebody else there. Like, he's wearing down. And that's going to hurt. The Aggies need to figure out something. Maybe they don't have the talent to – You know, right now that's all that they are punching above their weight. Like just what they have, like they don't have a lot of guys who can penetrate, a lot of guys who can create for themselves. We talk about Dan Atkin in the post.
Not to cut you off, but I'm going to cut you off.
Yeah.
Versatility.
Yeah.
It's the word that comes to mind, and the Aggies don't have it. They have depth, but they don't have versatility.
A lot of spot-up shooters.
And that's it. Like for as good as Taylor Funk is, I would love to see a guy with his skill level, his shooting ability, be able to have a semblance of a back-to-the-basket game, but he just doesn't. And he's fifth year in college, graduate senior, and this is going to be his last season. That's something that he'll probably add as his career continues if he chooses to play professionally.
Last year, the Aggies had Justin Bean.
Yeah.
Justin Bean could
you had a guy that could do that.
Spot up.
Could bang on the boards.
Yeah, like and so the Aggies don't have – they have a great spot. Give me Taylor Funk. Give me Max Scholga. Give me Ashworth. You know, some of these guys spot up shooting, great. But now you need the Ryland Jones to get in there. You need Ryland Jones so Steven Ashworth can get in there and help break that zone up a little bit. And that's what we're seeing is that, man, like that 6 minute stretch last night, like they were just they had no idea what they were just kind of passing the ball idly, trying to break the zone. But San Diego State's defense was out there shifting, rotating really well, and then they got down under 10 seconds and they would just jack up a shot.
Last thing about this San Diego State game, I want to talk briefly about Fresno State coming up on Saturday night, another road test for the Aggies. But one thing that stood out to me last night in the post-game press conference with Ryan Odom was Odom 2 or 3 different times talked about Utah State needing to come out early in games and be the aggressor and feel like they belong. And it made me, if a coach mentions that once, it's coach speak. Everybody says it. You've got to come out with that aggression. You've got to be the hunter and everything that Odom said last night. But when he brings it up 3 different times over the course of a 5-6-7 minute conversation, it makes me wonder if there's a little bit more behind those words. Do the Aggies is this Utah State team struggling with a belief in themselves, it at the very least, to win on the road? I wonder if there's some questions in that locker room about, okay, this is the third time in a row this has happened. This is the third time our offense has just disappeared. How do we fix it? And are they hanging their heads? I don't know.
I mean, just a few weeks ago, you and I were talking about, like, oh, wait, this team could – they can make a run. And now, you know, we start Mount West play, and Mount West, you know, they've eaten each other, but we're starting – I mean, they're still – Utah State's still near the top of the Mount West. But, man, some of these are tough matchups that they didn't always have. I mean, this is, again, like this was a chance for a Q1 win. And
would have been the first of the season for the Aggies.
I mean, and, boy, I mean, it's a shame that it ended the way it did. Aggies just always felt out of it. And so hopefully, yeah, like, I mean, you got to figure out how to win without, you know, the Spectrum Magic, because if you want to make it, you want to be able to go to Vegas in a month and be able to win there. So, and if the Aggies are good, if the Aggies are, you know, first, second, third in the Mountain West, I think you could see the fans travel well to Vegas. So let's just see if they can get keep up the pace.
The Aggies are going to get tested. They don't have a lot of time to hang their heads and wonder what the problem is. They've got to get back to work immediately and fix this, because Saturday afternoon at a 4 o'clock tip, they'll be in Fresno taking on the Fresno State Bulldogs. And
another great defensive team.
Now Fresno's not a terrific overall team, but yes, they're very good defensively. They score just over 60 points a game, allow 62.9.
Wasn't the Aggie San Jose score like 50-48?
It was 67-54. It was a low scoring game. Game. So the Aggies have already beaten this team, but you know, for all of the struggles that the Aggies have had on the road, Fresno State, they're eighth in the Mountain West. Yeah. You know, they're not great. They're not bad, but the teams that they've beaten at home, Wyoming. Okay, Wyoming, the Cowboys aren't very good this year. Whatever. You know, we could throw that one away. They beat UNLV. UNLV is super athletic. Yeah. We've seen them in Logan. That's a very difficult team. At 13-7, they may not be getting the results night in and night out that they want, but that's a team that can win anytime they step on the floor. And then they also beat a top 25 ranked New Mexico team that at the time was undefeated.
Right.
So if Fresno State is no joke at the Save Mart Center.
Yeah, and this is you hope it will be a get right game for the Aggies, but yeah, like it's a tough test, because that Fresno team, yeah, that defense has been talked about all year long about with this team. So Bulldogs. So,
yeah. The one good thing for the Aggies is Fresno State really struggles shooting from deep. So if Utah State can pack the paint, but we saw when the Bulldogs came up here that what they lack on the perimeter, they have great size inside. And so it's going to be a tough matchup for Dan Akin. It's going to be a difficult matchup for Trevin Dorius. He's going to have to stay out of foul trouble. Dorius's production has really increased over the last two or three weeks. He's been scoring a lot more. He had a nice turnaround left-handed hook last night that I didn't know he had in his repertoire. Trevin. Okay, the announcers commented on it. But it's going to be a big test for him because of the athleticism he's going to face on the interior.
And he got skimmed off the floor last night, only 14 minutes.
And that's something that I think just happens with Trevin Dorius. Right. So there are some teams that he can play against, but last night, with the way San Diego State plays and the lineups they put on the floor, Odom was forced to counter with a guard-heavy lineup. That's, you know, you saw Bairstow playing at the power forward position a lot, and Dan Akin was playing center most of the night when he was in the game, and you had Funk at power forward. So Odom has the ability to match up with size. It's just offensively they don't have versatility. I still think this is a team that has potential and could make some noise in the Mountain West postseason tournament, potentially the NCAA tournament. There are some people who think the Mountain West could get as many as 5 bids to the NCAA tournament, which seems like a stretch to me right now, but we're going to get more in-depth on that next week as we take a deep dive halfway through the Mountain West Conference season. But let's shift gears and look at Kristen White's gymnastics team come up short down in Cedar City against the Flippin' Birds, as we have discussed previously. But the big matchup this week, Spectrum Magic with Spectrum the BYU Cougars Magic, coming up.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you and I, we're Aggies. Like, we consider BYU's – I mean, I know BYU doesn't consider Aggies rivals, but Utah State, they want to beat BYU.
The little brother syndrome is real in Logan. Let's be honest.
SCU, I think, brought back a lot of their gymnastics teams from last year. So the best of the Utah was really telling, like, you know, obviously Red Rocks are the number one team in the state. SCU came in second. Utah State came in third. So they already have one win against BYU.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost twice to SCU, but they got one win against BYU. But BYU has improved scores from the beginning of the season.
Yes.
So they've gotten better. And last week was just, when you have five falls in a meet, that's hard. Five falls in a meet, you had a gymnast.
And a fault step out on the mat.
Down, so, mm-hmm. pretty, I mean, they count to two falls on bars. The coach, White said,
Because normally you can throw out your lowest score. So you had so many falls that you had to count falls.
They count to
rough.
One on beam, two on bars. And that's hard. Like, you get a fall, okay, cool. Like, if the fall happens second person, the next 4-0, okay, cool. You know, you tighten up. And, like, I watch a lot of Red Rocks, and so I see, like, they had a fall on beam last week against Oklahoma. And almost everybody after that was like, okay, cool. We had, you know, Miley, Crystal, Issa, and Kara Aker.
Look at you, name dropper.
Yeah, yeah. Kara Aker, I think after the fall, threw a 9-9. Right afterwards. So it is one of the things that, like, as a gymnast, you see a fall happens in your head, you know, okay, cool. Now I got to be like, maybe you're not going for the 10. You're just making sure that you get a 9, whatever, because, you know, you have a 9-0 on the board. And then have two more athletes fall. It's rough. It's
got to be deflating as an athlete.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cause like, you know that, okay, you've lost that rotation and you know that you're way behind now in the meet, depending on, bars are usually your first or second event. And the coach said, the mistakes on bars, things are going to happen. And they got to learn. They got to fight, finish the meet. So that's the thing. You got to finish the meet. Like, I think when you have two falls on bars, you probably think that you've lost the meet.
Scoring in gymnastics is so close that you probably have lost the meet for all intents and purposes.
Right.
But in college athletics, there's so much more than just –
right.
Today's game,
yes.
Today's match, today's meet.
Like
you're building for an entire career.
Yeah, gymnastics scoring is like sometimes like, you know, like when, oh, well, again, going back to Utah against Oklahoma. Utah, I think a lot of fans, we expected Utah to lose to Oklahoma in that meet. But it's important to still post a good score because the way the scoring at the end of the season, it's not really done by wins and losses. It's scored by how many away meet scores you have and home meets. And this was a big one. And she's talking about finishing the meets. And that was really hard for the Aggies to do. But, you know, now they get a chance, they're going to come home. You know, again, this is a good time to get right. Like, we're talking about the Aggies basketball team getting right on the road. This is a chance for the Utah gymnastics team to get right at home.
Mm-hmm.
Spectrum Magic, again, I guess a big meet against BYU, a team that's gotten better. And so, like, you may have beaten them once, but now – you're trying to sweep them for the season, so it'll be nice to see if they can do it. I mean, we've seen them have good routines before, so
yeah. So the Aggies 1-3, they're 1-2 in the MRGC. It'll be BYU Friday night in the Spectrum, 7:00. And again, that's the special Spectrum Magic. The gymnastics team is going to be wearing some Spectrum themed uniforms. I think there's color related to the autumn coloring of the seats, and apparently that's what I always wondered as a kid. I was like, why would they ever put these god awful colored of seats in here that make no sense for a school that is Navy? But what do I know? Apparently, it was supposed to look like Logan Canyon in the fall.
Okay, well, there you go.
I might be making that up. The person who told me that may have been making it up.
Yes.
But it sounds good.
We need to get the AD on the line and ask him. So, all right, cool. And then, speaking of ADs, John Hartwell, I'm a former Utah State AD, getting a new job.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Louisiana Monroe, I want to believe.
Okay. So, the Raging Cajuns?
Yeah, he got picked up there, so yeah.
Why do I know that Louisiana Monroe is the Raging Cajuns?
Because your mind is a vault for sports, so.
That's, Let's say that.
Men's basketball, gymnastics, what are we finishing with here today? I do want one. We did locals in NFL this week.
Oh, yeah, please.
I totally said last week, like, oh, hey, you know, Devin Hamilton's out. We're done with locals this year. I am wrong. Jaden Davis, Cincinnati Bengals are still at it. Okay. Beating the Bills and beating them soundly.
Yes. So thorough decimation.
Yeah. We get a rematch of Chiefs and Bengals. I mean, it was he had one tackle on special teams.
And Aggie is lucky to go back to the Super Bowl for the second straight year. And you're telling me, hey, he had one tackle on special teams. Ho hum. He wants to go to the Super Bowl.
Like, hey,
Utah beat
State,
the Chiefs for Utah the fourth State, straight time.
Utah State can make it to the Super Bowl again. So that's pretty cool.
Who do you have this weekend in the AFC and NFC championships? Chiefs, Bengals.
I'm going to go with Bengals. That Mahomes ankle injury is interesting.
I like your thought process
like
there.
We're it's so funny how we had these guys on a microscope. Like, they're doing drone footage of Mahomes jogging in practice. And
he's stretching. He looks healthy.
I was like, okay. I mean, high ankle sprain. I'm like, okay. Well.
And the knee.
Yeah, like, okay. Well.
Okay, so Bengals in the AFC. You got the Bengals representing. And on the other side, San Francisco traveling to Philadelphia. Really interesting. So these two teams played each other in week two last season, I think it was. And the 49ers won 17-11. But the 49ers have added Christian McCaffrey, obviously some other changes, Brock Purdy and whatnot.
The Eagles have added Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, MVP Jalen Hurts.
That Eagles team today is completely different than who they were when Nick Sirianni took over. That was Nick Sirianni's second game calling plays with Jalen Hurts, and they scored 11 points.
Hurts has become a much better
thrower. I think they could score 25-30.
And their defense is very stout. Both defenses are super stout. You know what? Let's go Niners. I mean, this Brock Purdy magic.
I'll agree with you on the Bengals. Good. I'm going to take the Eagles, right, though. I mean, okay, yeah.
The Eagles are not heavily favored, but they're probably favored.
Still a Utah State podcast, though, right?
It's true.
All right. So, just a few other sports going on right now. Track and field got their start last week at the Nebraska Invitational. Aggies picked up 4 individual titles, 24 top 5 finishes, and I don't follow track and field, so I don't know if this is common or what, but it's interesting to me that they have 2 different meets this weekend, both taking place on Friday and Saturday. One at the Washington Invitational and one at the Idaho State Invitational. So they're going to split up the men's and women's teams and participate in both.
Carbo load.
I don't know.
That's a lot of running.
It's interesting to me. But we mentioned the women's basketball team. Still a struggle after beating Fresno State, losses to Air Force and San Jose State.
Not sure what we can say. It's sort of the same story every week, just like, hey, it's a learning year.
So. Yep, exactly. And then tennis is picking up. So the men's tennis team actually started last weekend. Let me see if I can find. Last week they went up to the Pacific Northwest, spent some time in the rain, losing 6-1 at Oregon and at Portland. So a rough start for the men's tennis team, but they're going to take on Eastern Washington on this will be next weekend, Friday, February 3rd, and then Grand Canyon Saturday, February 4th. The women's tennis team.
Grand Canyon. Do you know that Grand Canyon is a for-profit school?
Okay, Grand Canyon's wild because they didn't even exist when I was a kid, and now I see their sports everywhere. They were in the NCAA tournament last season.
Grand Canyon,
where did the money come from to start the program?
Because they're a for-profit university. So,
is there a secret antelope society funneling money? Grand Canyon University in Phoenix. Anybody who's been to Phoenix, I'm sure it's a lovely place. I've only been there in August, and it is Satan's.
You can't say.
This is a family friendly KSL Sports podcast. Phoenix is not great for much of the year.
Just interesting because I don't know. Most schools are nonprofit. They're a for profit, and I don't think they're the best. Because they're in the WAC, so in basketball and stuff, they're good. It is very funny. I was like Grand Canyon is weird, but so you said that, and that was my side there. So, you were saying Grand Canyon.
That was my rant on Grand Canyon.
No, I mean,
they're just
you said it, so that's why.
You got completely off track. But a couple other things we got going on this week: women's basketball team. They've got two games. One tonight. They're facing Wyoming. Wyoming coming into the Spectrum, and then New Mexico. The Lobos will be in Logan on the 28th Saturday afternoon. So a couple games there for the women's team. Men's basketball, of course, Fresno State, 4 o'clock tip Saturday afternoon. So set your calendars. Make sure you're available
for
that one.
I'll be awake for that.
4 o'clock, I'm absolutely going to be awake. So when I look at the schedule and I see a 9 o'clock tip in San Diego, it's like I have to fight myself from like calling Madison, my editor, and saying, is anybody else available to cover this game?
Flames
9 o'clock is my bedtime.
Yeah, flames on the side of my face.
It's tough. It's tough to be Brian, but it's going to be tougher to be who. I'll go first on this one because I know you're not prepared. Right. My Scotsman of the week. I'm going to wait for my phone to open. Technology. It's a good time. I hope you're thinking of a Scotsman of the week,
I think you have one.
But I'm going to my first Scotsman of the week. Issued on Thursday, January 26th, to be immortalized forever. Scotsman of the Week, Utah State. I'm going to split it between two different people because, I wouldn't want to actually follow the rules on day one. But Devin Pancake and Christina Vlahovic, both named Mountain West Indoor Athletes of the Week. So congratulations to Devin Pancake and Christina Vlahovic. Pancake is a senior and Vlahovic, a freshman. So exciting times for the Aggie track and field teams. Congratulations to the two of them winning my first Scotsman of the week.
I'm not going to go nearly as deep as you did there. But, I mean, just that game last night against San Diego State, I thought Dan Atkin was really impressive.
Okay.
He didn't score. You know, Max Schuller had 22 points, but Dan had 15 points. 15 and 10. Is double doubles in
well,
college.
The efficiency is big.
6 of 7. Did they count that one where I can't remember who threw him the alley-oop in the second half? I was like, I think he just mistimed his jump because it wasn't an awful pass, but he just missed. I was like, oh! And like that was in the middle of a run where could have got them within like 6 or 4 or something. And I was like, oh, man. But Dan Atkin was really impressive. 6 of 7, 15 points, 10 rebounds, coming in. And again, the Aggies trying to mix Dorian, mixing Dan Atkin. Dan Atkin, even last week against San Jose State, had a big dunk in the late second half that got them within 4. So I think he'll be my first Scotsman of the week.
Dorian, isn't Dorian the bad guy in The Mask?
Yes,
the Jim Carrey movie.
You know what I said?
Trevin Dorius. I knew what you meant. Yes. I just had to. I can make an obscure 90s comedy reference.
Right. Words are hard.
You have to. Where can they find you on the social media blogosphere?
The accounts that haven't been suspended at Hootran Superman. HUUTRAN Superman. That's Hootran Superman.
Did you ever get back into your High Notes account?
I'm still working on it. It's just one of those things. Like, so don't.
It's awful.
Here's the thing.
Does
folks,
anybody have access to it?
No. And the problem is that it was my dad's phone number. And I was like, you sign up for Twitter. I'm like, oh, send it my dad's phone number. Whatever.
Call Sprint immediately.
He doesn't have that phone number anymore. I'm like, well,
Dad,
what am I supposed to do?
You've ruined the podcast.
Elon, what am I supposed to do now? How do I get back into this podcast? And talking to people is just like, you got to do a lot of emailing and. It is what it is.
It doesn't sound worth it.
Trust me.
He's Hootran, KSL TV sports producer.
That's correct. That's correct.
I am Brian Priest, KSL
Digital
sports producer. I don't even know what my title is.
We're on the same team.
We
work together.
The same person signs our checks each day.
Where do they find you, B Priest?
You can find me on Twitter at bpriest24. That's at bpreece24. And all of my written work at kslsports.com. Don't be fooled by the sham site ksl.com. No, those guys are legitimate, too. But we are KSLSports.com. You're listening to The Scotsman. Yeah.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold.
Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.